Welcome to MoneyMD, where the money doctors are in the house. We're giving out prescriptions for better financial health and making smart decisions with your money. We give common sense solutions to your complex problems. And now, here are the doctors.
Well, Matthew, welcome back. You are officially a married man on the show.
That's right, man. First episode back.
How's it feel?
It is wonderful. Yeah, we got married, I guess it was about 2 weeks ago, coming up on 3 weeks now, back in North Augusta. We got married and went on a honeymoon and got back maybe 2 weeks ago from that. And yeah, it's been an adjustment for sure. I've never never done this before. It's my first time. And
first time.
A lot of new rhythms and routines that we're both setting in place. And but man, it's been wonderful. She's my best friend, and good. Now I get to do life with her every day. So
well, great. we're so happy for you, and it's awesome. You got a forever roommate, and I'm sure that's just been an adjustment too, just sharing space.
Yeah, sharing living space in the house, and I'll just say, my wife has much better taste making a house look nice than I do. I think very functionally, and she thinks very aesthetically.
I wasn't going to say anything.
Oh, come on, man.
But I'm glad she's in there helping out.
She is. She's doing wonders with this little house that we have. So we're excited.
Yeah, well, we're heading into the fall. I mean, we're heading into the holiday season today.
Goodness, it came up quick.
Yeah, it's November. I mean, good night. Two more months, colder, hopefully. You know, it's been a little warm. It was a warm October. And things are moving quite along, and this is the busy time of the year, and parties and family get-togethers, and so we hope everyone out there just enjoys this time, because, you know, they are limited. We only have a certain number of them.
Yeah, that's right. Are you guys staying here for the holidays or going somewhere?
No, trip for Thanksgiving.
Okay.
And then staying home for Christmas. Hopefully my parents will be settled in their new house, so we'll all get to enjoy Christmas there. And
nice.
Obviously our new house.
Yep.
Yeah, it'll be our first Christmas in the new house. Well, yeah, lots going on, but today we're really going to cover a lot of cool things. So we're going to talk through a few articles. The first is 6 questions to ask during open enrollment to help you find the best plan. So it's that time of year as well where it's time to shop for health insurance. So we're going to talk through that. You know, if you're not asking these questions, you should be. So we'll work through 6 questions.
Yeah, that's right. And in the second article it's from the Ramsey Network, and it's 7 signs you're being overworked. This is very common in America in our day and age of overworking and not really knowing how not to overwork.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, this is a very common question that a lot of people are asking is, hey, how do we get a good work-life balance? And this article will detail at least a piece of that. So it's a great article. We hope it's helpful.
Yeah, I'm excited to work through that one because, yeah, that's a big topic we work through a lot. So by the way, I'm Ryan Borders. I'm a certified financial planner and a Dave Ramsey SmartVestor Pro. I'm one of the advisors here at Richard Young Associates.
And I'm Matthew Travis. I'm also a certified financial planner and am an advisor here at the firm as well.
Yeah, and we're excited to have everybody listening to us today on our weekly show. We are up every week. Friday afternoons is when we post a new show. So you can find our show up on our website through moneymd.net, or you can look at like Spotify, iTunes, all those different platforms to listen to us anywhere in the world. Also, check out our website, moneymd.net, where you can link to us and ask questions. You know, we do a weekly question that we love to answer. You can do that and see previous shows. But really, just to get started, we're going to move into the financial fact of the week.
Yeah, and this is from Dimensional Fund Advisors, our mutual fund company. And it's a stat that they show fairly often, and it's very helpful. As companies grow to become some of the largest on the U.S. stock market, their returns can be impressive. But not long after joining the top 10 largest companies by market cap, these stocks on average have lagged behind the market. From 1927 through 2022, the average annualized return for those stocks over the 3 years prior to joining the top 10 largest companies was more than 25% higher than the market, meaning it outpaced the market by 25%. 3 years after joining the top 10, these stocks were on average underperforming the market. It's a stark turnaround from 3 years before to 3 years after joining the top 10 largest companies. And the gap grows even larger as you go 5 years before and after and 10 years before and after. Meaning you really should not try to chase returns, right? So there's a lot of danger in saying, hey, this company is really hot and it just joined the top 10. We're going to put everything in here. The data would show actually after joining the top 10 largest companies in the U.S., the 3, 5, and 10-year returns subsequent to that have the markets have outperformed those individual stocks. So, you know, really interesting to look at that data. And that's, again, from Dimensional Fund Advisors.
Yeah, that's really interesting because you just, you know, obviously there's just the popular stocks in the news. We're constantly combating that, looking at that. But it's amazing how many people jump into those things after it's had the majority of its growth. And we really just followed it because it was popular and you missed out on most of the growth mm-hmm. and just underperforms. And things change and markets move quickly. And yeah, it's just not a good game to play. We don't play that game with any of our accounts. And yeah, you got to be careful with that because, yeah, you might be thinking you're putting yourself in something that's really good and it winds up being not so good for you.
That's right.
At least the data suggests that. Yeah, that's a really good financial fact of the week. Just some good perspective. But let's dive into this first topic. So this is 6 questions to ask during open enrollment, you know, to help you find the best plan. So this is for those shopping around for health insurance. This is from Kate Ashford. It's MarketWatch, and they partner with NerdWallet. So the main thing is, hey, you know, if you're not asking these questions, you should be. So open enrollment is no one's idea of a good time, but, you know, health coverage is a crucial part of your financial health. We know that. We talk about that here all the time. You know, whether you're getting insurance through an employer or the Affordable Care Act marketplace, it's important to ask the right questions, you know, before you choose a health plan for 2024. So open enrollment is a great time to do a personal health audit. This comes from a guy who works at GoodRx. This is Charlene Reinhart. And, you know, the main thing is understanding your current and anticipated healthcare needs will help you decide which plan is best fit. So there's not one all be all for people. It depends on your specific situation. So you want to take stock in that before you really start choosing a plan. So here's how we kind of weigh some options. All right, first question here, Matthew, is, you know, are your doctors in network? I've had to experience this before when I've shopped that, you know, I had doctors that fell out of network for me. And so, you know, plan networks change from year to year. If you love your doctor or specialist, make sure they're still in network of your plan, you know, considering for 2024. I lost one of my doctors when I switched plans years ago.
Yeah, and you should also consider whether you want the option to be able to go out of network, which you can usually do in a preferred provider organization or PPO plan. Although it can cost more, health maintenance organizations or HMOs, they do tend to be cheaper, but they can lack out-of-network flexibility. Another question would be, are your medications covered? If you're on prescription medications, you really want to make sure you check the formularies to make sure you understand how your drugs will be covered for the following year. Drug coverage can change year to year, even if you stick with the same plan. And so it's really advised that you make sure your medications are covered that you'll need because medications can be very expensive. Another question would be, what are the out-of-pocket costs? Every plan has set costs like the monthly premiums plus the cost of care, which can include the deductible, any copays, coinsurance. And then there is a maximum out-of-pocket that you'll pay. But comparing the plans means estimating how much healthcare you'll use next year.
Yeah. And so on the, you know, on the one hand, you have the cost you'd pay if you don't use the plan much beyond, you know, preventative care. On the other hand, you have the maximum amount you could pay in each plan. If you're a heavy healthcare user, you can easily compare these situations. There's a squishy middle ground, however, where the best plan for you depends on the amount and type of care you'll need next year, which can also be hard to predict. You know, the tricky part is we never really know, like I just said, how much, you know, we're going to spend. You know, every year is different. You know, for us, I had, you know, thinking of last year, I had a lot of physical therapy. That costs a lot of money. Yeah, I wasn't expecting that.
Right.
But it happened. It's part of life. So it's just hard to figure that out, but you can kind of guess, at least if you know, especially if you have something that's chronic, something that you continually go to, you can kind of figure that out. And then maybe you can make a plan to figure out, hey, maybe I have a certain percentage cushion just for the unexpected healthcare costs. So there's lots of different ways you can do that, some different models you could run. It's good to talk to your financial advisor about it and just work through that as well. The next is a high deductible plan right for you? This is the great question. We work through this a lot. you know, a high deductible health plan in 2024 is defined as a plan with a deductible of at least $1,600 for an individual, and that would be $3,200 for family coverage, with out-of-pocket maximums of no more than $8,050 or $16,100, respectively. So the high deductible health plans usually have lower premiums, right? That's the advantage of it. And sometimes companies kick in a contribution to your health savings account, you know, to help cover those, you know, deductible costs.
Right.
We talk about that a lot on the show. A high deductible health plan can be an appropriate plan for people in a variety of health situations, as long as they're prepared to pay the deductible if they need the health care. So you got to make sure you can cover that larger deductible.
Yeah. And really the question, Ryan, is can you afford it, right? If you're healthy, go for the high deductible health plan. But in the case of a bad accident or the catastrophic event, you do want to make sure you have means to pay the full deductible, which means having an emergency fund on the side that if something were to happen and let's say your deductible is $10,000, you know, having at least $10,000 in cash set aside for that emergency so that you don't go into debt if you have a big medical bill is really important. So that would be key for the high deductible plan.
Yeah.
Another question is, can you stack benefits? And so you might have access to voluntary benefits through your employer that can help cover costs that your insurance doesn't cover. For example, some Aflac policies can help pay expenses if you get into a car accident or get cancer.
Yeah. And you may find that you can get a high deductible health plan plus a supplemental plan that would help you cover your deductible for less than the cost of a traditional health plan. That's one approach. It can be a lot less than moving to the next tier where the deductibles are lower. So you look through that. Also think about just your savings and emergency funds, other things you can look through as well. The final thing is, do you have special care needs? So some insurance plans cover things like weight loss surgery or infertility treatments, but some don't. And the exclusion can make a huge difference. You know, if it's a procedure you're considering, you might find that one insurance company covers a certain surgery or test, while another views it as investigational or not a medical necessity. So you got to understand that. You know, a lot of younger people that are having babies and things like that in your plan, you want to keep that in mind. Just one thing that comes to my mind with all of this is that can be very expensive. Mm-hmm. So you want to think about that. You know, so the underlying message is that just because it looks like the same plan, you know, from the same company you were with this year, don't assume that it hasn't changed. All right. You got to really look at the details, make sure you understand and you get all your wishes met before you go buy another plan or renew a plan because things do change and it might catch you off guard when it's time to use that health insurance plan come later in 2024. Mm. So good, quick article. Just wanted to kind of cover the ground there with, as we're in open enrollment season. So
it's that time of the year. That's right.
It's that time of the year. So we're going to move on over to the question of the week. So this was submitted in. My husband is going part-time as a nurse. We were on his health insurance. What should we do?
Yeah, really good question from one of our listeners. And so the answer, and this is, you know, from what the article we just read kind of touched on it. I mean, really the answer is going to be to examine what options are available for both spouses, right? And so if a person is part-time, some employers do not offer benefits if you work part-time. So that might not be an option. So for this wife, maybe it is looking at her benefits that's offered through her employer. If she's not working or she's part-time as well or is not offered benefits and he's not offered benefits, the answer would be to go on the marketplace, the open, where everyone can look and look at all the available options for health insurance. It's healthcare.gov is a website for that. So, but it's really to examine what is the cost for a family plan for this couple now that the husband will not be offered health insurance. So it is a lot of transition, but thankfully you have a couple weeks to do that. If there is a qualifying event, then sometimes the employer offers 30 to 60 days for you to, you know, get settled and then to reevaluate it, even if it's outside the open enrollment. And that could be something like death or a marriage or, you know, some qualifying event, then you can do that. But most of the time it's during open enrollment, which is this time of the year.
Yeah. Great question. Great timing. Good answer. So moving on to topic number two is 7 signs you're being overworked. So interesting topic.
Yeah. And so, you know, in our hustle and grind culture, there's a thin line between being dedicated to your career and being overworked. Of course, there are seasons when you may have to put in extra hours to get big projects across the finish line. But also, Ryan, life is just too short to tread water every single day, to have this grind mentality that says, hey, I'm going to put work ahead of everything else.
Yeah.
And work is my number one priority. And family, even if we wouldn't say this, family comes second. Faith comes somewhere way down the line, if at all. And we put everything behind work. And so that's really what this article is touching on, is it's really the idolatry, or it's the prioritization of work. And so these are 7 signs that you may be overworked.
This will be good, because it's so, what I see with a lot of people, it's hard to recognize it.
Very hard.
And they don't always recognize it, or we use just different excuses. I don't want to use that word necessarily, but just things that make it sound good, where, you know, we're not addressing that maybe we are overworking. And so this will be really good. Yeah.
Yeah. And like you said, Ryan, a lot of people think this is good. They think it is, hey, I'm providing for my family.
Which is good.
You really can't, you know, tell me I'm working too hard because I'm doing it for this purpose. But in reality, maybe your family wants more time with you versus more dollars in the bank account. So, you know, there's not one answer that fits it, but really just really hopefully getting you to ask a question. Hey, am I overworking? What are the signs for this? So there's 7 of them, and Ryan, I'll let you start with the first.
Yeah, so the first would be, you are having trouble disconnecting. And I think we all struggle with that, not even just with work, but in our fast-paced, wired world, you know, we have 24/7 access to our work. You know, it's sitting in our pockets now. These phones, you can check emails, client calls, texts, etc. You know, technology is completely interwoven through our lives, making it difficult to disconnect from the job that we have, you know. So we're always on. And even worse, our leaders sometimes expect us to be available at all hours of the day. So you can actually become, you know, addicted to stress hormones like cortisol, adrenaline, that your brain releases when you caught up in, you know, constant stimulation. So yeah, some people are actually addicted to stress. We can actually become addicted to overworking as well, because that, you know, you're getting that stress hormone constantly, and it can really cause you to feel good, feel like you're doing the right thing, but really it's pulling you away from the other priorities of your life, other things that need your attention as well.
Yeah, that's right. The second sign would be, you feel like you're always behind. The ironic thing about overworking is that it tends to make people less productive at home and at work. When you spread yourself too thin, it's hard to focus on things that light you up and fill your tank up emotionally and spiritually and physically. When your job requires extra time and your attention, you can fall behind in other important areas of your life, like we've been talking about. You may no longer have the energy to go to the gym or be able to enjoy a conversation with your spouse or with your kids or with your friends. Maybe even going to church can feel like a drag. Or, you know, there's just a lot that can be affected as we work more, and feeling behind is a clear sign. So yeah, that would be the second one.
Yeah, let me say a few things on these two things real quick. You know, my grandfather always talked about, you know, in his working years before, he always was critical of the phone and like the iPhone, because he said when, you know, he was at a job site, sometimes he just needed to go away and sit and be able to think through problems as an engineer in construction. And he used to say that even when the pager first came out, that you no longer could do that. You can no longer get away and just clear your head and think through and problem solve. So that's one point that I think is really interesting too, is when they first came out with all these computers and whatnot, they were like, oh, the work week is going to be less because we're going to get more work done faster, and therefore people have to work less. And shocker, we're working more. So that's really interesting. So the third point is, your health is declining. You know, you got to look at your body signals, or if you're overworking. So are you paying, you know, are you exhausted? Do you have brain fog, difficult concentrating, stress, anxiety, depression, weight gain or loss? Poor eating habits, insomnia, body aches. You know, these can be some signs that you're overworking because you're not taking care of your health. You're not eating right. You're not, you know, moving your body in the proper way. A lot of these jobs are sedentary.
Yeah, that's right. This fourth one would be, you know, looking at the hours. Literally, you can count the hours. 50, 60, 80-hour work weeks. tend to be the norm in our work culture in America. There is always exceptions, of course. You know, if you're a teacher and you put in more than 40 hours a week during long stretches of time throughout the year, maybe you're a medical resident and, you know that this is going to be a rough season as you're working long. But really what this article is touching on is, hey, if this is your career for the next 40 years, that you're working 60 hours a week, maybe it's something that we need to consider. So it's not saying the short term, hey, this is a season, but this is, hey, this is the rest of my career. This is what I'm expecting to work these hours. So, you know, looking at the hours is important as well.
Absolutely. Next is you feel distant from friends and family. Yeah, big one here. So it's pretty simple. You know, the more time you spend at the office, the less time you spend with family. As you, you know, miss one event after another, you'll start slowly drift further and further away from people you care about. And you'll start feeling disconnected, frazzled, and lonely. When the work becomes more important than the people around you, everyone, you know, your spouse, your kids, you know, your friends, you know, you will feel that impact over time.
Yeah. And man, talking about loneliness, like how many people do you know who would say they are lonely at this moment? I mean, and like we're surrounded by people constantly and yet we feel lonely and like, man, that is interesting. I know we're working through that and people are becoming aware of that, but that we should see that as a, I wonder what is happening with that.
Well, that goes back to the technology piece. Not only is it we're overworking, but people are also spending their leisure time on their device away from people, human interaction. And I watched a thing on this recently, and then add AI to all this that people are just relying on that and they're not really connecting with human beings anymore, or they're, you know, a fake version on Instagram of human beings. And, you know, there's countries that are now taking it as a health priority. The Surgeon General of the United States is talking about loneliness being a huge problem among Americans. The Japanese government recently started a administrator of loneliness, basically helping figure out the problem with people that are feeling lonely, because so many people are spending time on Netflix, on their phones, on the computer, rather than with real people. And so add overworking on top of that. Then when you're alone, you know, you do that instead. Golly, it could be a big issue.
It's a cycle, too. It's hard to break, for sure.
Exactly.
Yeah, so number six would be you've lost your enthusiasm. You simply can't sustain the joy and excitement of pursuing your calling when you are simply working more and more and more every day. The spark that ignites your passion can be snuffed out by demanding hours, creativity, and vision. Need breathing room. And if you've lost your drive and your passion for work, really examine, are you overworking?
Yeah, the next seven is you think the grass is greener somewhere else. That can be true, but, you know, do you suddenly have a wandering eye when it comes to employment? You might love your job and your team right now, but overworking can make the grass look a lot greener somewhere else. That's true. So now, you know, we're not suggesting you tough it out in a toxic workplace or choose to stay, you know, stuck in a job that you hate, but, you know, your health and contribution to the world are more important than just working. So, but if you normally enjoy your job and like working with your team, and if a conversation with your boss could clear up a large portion of your stress, then it's really worth sticking around and finding a solution. So we're just saying, hey, don't just necessarily jump ship here. Try to have a conversation. A lot of people, you know, we talk to clients, or even just I'm talking about friends and family that I talk to. They just don't open the door to conversation. They're scared to talk, which is part of this relational issue I think we're talking about, is people just won't go and say, hey, can we talk?
Yeah, that's right. And the problem is not just your employer. It's also, it can be the employee not wanting to talk, like you're saying, Ryan. So yeah, having that conversation is good. So those are the seven signs, and here are some consequences of this. So it's not harmless. It's not neutral. It does affect. And it really, three areas we'll look at. You can suffer. Your family and friends can suffer, and your workplace can suffer. So with you suffering, at the very least, overworking can lead to burnout at your job. And here's a helpful tool to evaluate your joy at your work. If you find yourself complaining about something, how often does it have to deal with your job? Meaning, like if you talk with your friends and you find yourself, you know, this is not working, or you're grumbling about something, how often is it related to your work and how much you're working? If that's the case, it's okay. But it's good to evaluate that and see what is going on and why you're not happy, why you're not content, and thinking through that. Secondly, your family and friends can suffer. Again, we've talked about this, but you know, if you're working long hours and your mind is distracted, even when you are at home and you're not present, and you're distracted, your family and friends notice that. It's not a neutral act to not be present. People know when your mind is somewhere else. So that can be a consequence of overworking, is your family and your friends can suffer. And then also, lastly, your workplace can suffer. This is not earth shattering, but if someone's not happy at work, you know, likely the product that they produce or the service they provide is not going to be as good as if they were joyful or as if they were satisfied at work. And so your work can suffer. So the very reason you are desiring to overwork, you know, to have a product or have a service is suffering because you are overworking.
Yeah.
So there, you know, a lot of what we're talking about is balance. And it's not saying work is bad, but when we make work ultimate in our lives,
yes,
that's when it becomes bad. And so we, you know, that where we're asking our listeners and ourselves, Ryan, we need to evaluate this for ourselves, but we're asking people to have a discerning eye to be able to think through this and say, am I placing too much of a priority on work and in letting other areas of our lives have neglect?
Yeah, overworking, burnout, you just become a lot less efficient, right? Mm-hmm. And so in those times, you just, it's not as good quality anymore. Even though it might feel good, the hours feel good, but it's the same thing, like you can think of a workout, right? If you're not actually in that time putting in the real effort, then, you know, you're working longer, but you might not be actually making mm-hmm. a lot of progress.
That's a good point.
So next is what to do when you are overworked. So the first thing, you know, you want to hear, you know, we want to hear is this. You have the power to change your situation. So think about that. It will take some dedication, you know, dedicated effort to change your situation or find a new one. But you have what it takes. You can do it. Even if you feel trapped, you can make good money and do something you love without working 60 plus hours a week. Here are three action steps you can take if you're feeling overworked. So one would be assess your situation. Before knowing, you know, steps to take, you need to understand what has led to this point. You know, what is the actual root of the issue, right? It's not the job necessarily. It could be, but a lot of times there's something deeper there. You're trying to prove yourself. Mm-hmm. You're putting that pressure on yourself. You're trying to prove yourself from mm-hmm. something in your past. You're trying to be a people pleaser. It could be a million things. Yeah. You got to get to the root issue there. The next is, you know, if your overworking is self-imposed, yeah, that's always a good question, then you need to get to the bottom of your motivations for overworking. Maybe you don't want to be home. So maybe that's where you need to go work. Maybe you need to go get counseling and say, hey, why don't I want to be home?
Yeah.
Why am I using this job to cover that up? Maybe you're seeking fulfillment from your work that needs to be met somewhere else.
Mm. Wow.
Yeah. That's a great question to ask. We all should ask that question. Maybe you need to learn to set healthy boundaries in your life. Some people just struggle. I struggle to say no. And I've been working on boundaries this year. It's one of the goals Sarah and I have been working on. And there's no shame in this. But you have to honestly look at yourself in the mirror and decide who you want to be and what life you want to live. What are we about? What are we for? What's your mission? What's your vision of your life? Because it's all limited. Finally, if your overworking is part of the company culture, you've got a different set of problems. Your situation might be fixed with a simple direct conversation with a leader, but if you're in a work culture that, you know, is resistant to change or glorifies workaholism, then it's time to get the heck out of Dodge. Don't let fear or shame or false loyalty keep you tied up in a toxic environment. Don't let it do it. I mean, it's just hard, but don't.
Yeah, that's right. And so to summarize the article, you know, Ryan, you and I talk about this personally a lot, but, you know, it sounds morbid, but we're going to die.
Yes.
Right? Like it is, I mean, I think the last time I looked, the mortality rate's hovering right around 100%. The last time I looked, and that's just, it's a joke, but everyone's going to die. And
yeah.
So really we have a limited amount of time and resources on this earth, and it's how do we want to spend it? What do we want to look back on our life and say, yes, that was a good use of time? And it's so cliche to say, but no one on their deathbed says, man, I just wish I would have spent more time working, right? It's relationships.
Absolutely.
And so it's really, it's hopefully we're challenging you to examine your life and see, and do I have a good balance? Do I have a good priority of the things that truly matter to me in my life? So anyways, great article from the Ramsey Network. Very thankful for those guys and these topics on that.
Good questions to ask. It's just important because it's so easy to put on auto drive and just not think about these things. And then we live our lives and go, what happened?
Yeah, that's right.
And so we just got to think, what's actually important to us? What is your purpose in life? What's your mission and vision? So really, really good stuff. Thanks for sharing that article. All right, finally, let's move to the RX of the week. So this is a pretty basic one, but a lot of people don't do it. So check your income reporting on SSA.gov, Social Security's website. Go in there once a year, print out your statement, look at what your benefits are projected to be, but check your income reporting and make sure it's accurate. There can be errors in that, and a lot of people overlook that, and you can get those corrected if they're not right. So always good to look at that.
Yeah, really good. Personal story. Myself and my father, John Travis, had this happen in 2020. They reported our income as zero. So it does happen. It's really good to look back on that each year.
Absolutely. Well, it's been a good episode. Talked about a lot of good stuff. So this has been our week's edition of MoneyMD. Tune in next week on MoneyMD.net to hear more prescriptions for your financial health. Check out our website at moneymd.net. Send us your questions or give us a call at Richard Young Associates at 706-739-0725. Yeah, just thank everybody for listening, and we just hope you have a great rest of the week and enjoy the start to November.
Material in this program is intended for general information only and should not be taken as specific investment, tax, or legal advice. None of the information contained in the broadcast is intended by the host to be a solicitation for the purchase or sale of any security. All hosts are representatives of Richard Young Associates, a registered investment advisor.